from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about this series against the Diamondbacks the Giants just completed, winning 3 out of 4, 2 out of 3 over the weekend since we last spoke. Giants won some crazy games on Friday and Saturday, scoring 10 runs on Friday, 11 runs on Saturday, but then they were shut down by Merrill Kelly on Sunday in a start by Madison Bumgarner. So we'll talk all about the key points from all three games. Mike Yastrzemski going off on Friday. Logan Webb was called up, started Saturday, so there's a lot to get into, and we'll start right away. With the 2 wins and 1 loss over the weekend, the Giants improved to 63-62, still 18.5 games back in the West, but 3.5 games out of a wild card spot. They had pulled to within 2.5 games coming into Sunday, but then lost a game yesterday. The Cubs currently lead that second wild card spot, so the Giants, who go to Chicago next, have a real chance to make up some ground or fall further and further behind. This is a huge series upcoming. Giants improved their road record to 34-29. That's the third best road record in the National League. So getting into the games themselves, Friday was an absolutely crazy game, started by Jeff Samardzija, who pitched very well, 5 1/3, allowed just 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks, 1 home run, and 5 hits allowed. So he just kind of continued his stretch of strong pitching. And really, this was a game that got away from the Giants' bullpen. Giants had 15 hits in this game, including 3 home runs by Mike Yastrzemski, the last of which was an absolute bomb in the 11th inning that proved to be the winning run. Giants led 7-2 in the 8th inning, and Tony Watson allowed 4 earned runs on 2 homers, no strikeouts, in just 1/3 of an inning. So we have talked about Tony Watson a lot on this show this year, and his struggles were entirely predictable. There were extreme red flags pretty much from the very beginning with him this season compared to last year, especially when he was absolutely phenomenal. So for much of this year, his ERA was low, but the peripherals were screaming that something was wrong, and we're seeing that catch up to him. His ERA is now 4.63, and the peripherals are right around that area as well, both of which are actually higher, the fielding independent pitching and expected fielding independent pitching. So last season, his strikeout rate was up around 28%, and this year it's all the way down to 17%. So that's an enormous red flag right there, as is the home run rate. Home run rate is slower to stabilize, but still, he's allowed 9 home runs this season in 46 2/3 innings. Last year, he allowed just 4 home runs all year in 66 innings. Hard to say exactly what's going on with Tony Watson. His velocities are actually up this year versus last year. Pitch usage is a little bit different. He's throwing his slider less, about 10 percentage points less, and his changeup more, about 10 percentage points more. The fastball is still the same at about 50%. But we've said over and over on the show that it's dangerous to keep going to Tony Watson in the late innings of close games. And this game wasn't close. Thankfully, it was 7-2. But I do think he's pitched his way out of an important late inning role right now. And the Giants really need to try to go another direction in those innings. So this is shocking after last season when he had a 2.59 ERA with peripherals that matched up with that. So anyway, the Diamondbacks came back to tie the game at 7 in the 8th inning. Sam Coonrod allowed a big home run that tied the game against Adam Jones. So the Diamondbacks hit 3 home runs in the inning. Yandel Gustave pitched a scoreless 9th. So he's continued to be really solid so far for the Giants. And then they took the lead with a 2-run homer by Kevin Pillar in the 10th inning. But then in the bottom of the 10th, Will Smith allowed 2 home runs. And the Diamondbacks tied the game again. So Smith has kind of struggled since the All-Star break. We don't really have time to dive too deeply into that, but suffice it to say, he's not been as sharp after the All-Star break, and the Diamondbacks tied the game, and we had to go to the 11th. But then in the 11th inning, Mike Yastrzemski hit his third home run of the game, give them a 10-9 lead. Will Smith was kind of shaky in the bottom of the 11th, allowing a leadoff hit, and then falling behind Eduardo Escobar 3-0 with one out. But then he came back to get Escobar to pop out. Christian Walker, the right-hander, came up, and Bochy went to get Trevor Gott against the righty Walker. I think that was the right move. Smith had thrown a lot of pitches. His velocity was dropping. And Gott got Walker to ground out to end the game, and the Giants won 10-9. So a crazy game, 12 home runs hit in this game, which is like one shy of the major league record. But, you know, thankfully the Giants were able to pull it out, and Mike Yastrzemski was certainly the hero. So just looking at Yastrzemski, he now on the season has been over 20% above average by weighted runs created plus, hitting .276 with a .326 on base and a .548 slugging. Those are just phenomenal numbers. That .272 ISO, the difference between the slugging and the batting average, is just really, really good. So defense and base running considered as well, he's been worth 1.6 Fangraphs wins above replacement, which is just really good for a guy who's only played in 72 games. It's not exactly how this works, but if you just multiply that by two and kind of consider it somewhat like a full season, that would be obviously 3.2 wins above replacement, and that's solidly above average from an everyday type of guy. So Yastrzemski has just been good, really good lately especially, and especially with the long ball. Only striking out 24% of the time, elevating the ball consistently. There's just nothing screaming that regression is coming from the numbers. .310 average on balls in play, 19.5 home run to fly ball ratio. So nothing looks too unsustainable necessarily from all of this. Not saying that means it will last, but I am saying that in the largest amount of data and sample we have yet for Yastrzemski, he's done nothing but look like a really nice contributor at the major league level. So what a pickup that has been. And just great to see for him personally with all the time he spent in the minor leagues without ever getting an opportunity until Farhan Zaidi and the Giants gave him an opportunity this season after acquiring him from the Orioles during spring training. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about Saturday's game, Logan Webb making his major league debut and pitching very well. So we'll break down what we saw there and talk briefly about Sunday's loss as well. Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer and Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else, then you're just the same. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and keep you ahead all season long. Follow Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. Okay, as promised here in the second half of the show, we'll talk about Saturday's 11-6 win and then briefly discuss the 6-1 loss on Sunday. So on Saturday, Logan Webb was called up to make his major league debut, as we predicted would happen. Joey Rickard was optioned back to Sacramento in a corresponding move. So it was a little bit dicey for Webb in the first inning. He allowed a leadoff single and then a double that scored a run. So right away, 1-0 Diamondbacks. There was then a ground out that got Wilmer Flores to third base with one out, with David Peralta, a righty killer, coming up, and Webb was able to strike him out. So that was a huge strikeout and probably did a lot for the confidence of Logan Webb. But then Adam Jones reached on a throwing error by Evan Longoria that scored the run anyway, made it 2-0. But he was able to get Jake Lamb to ground out to limit the damage to 2 runs, and really only one of which was put on his record. But then in the top of the second inning, the Giants went off and scored 5 runs. Dickerson walked, Jeanette reached on an error, Kevin Pillar hit a bloop single, and then Brandon Belt hit a grand slam. Giants weren't done yet. Crawford singled, Webb bunted into a pop-out. Yastrzemski singled, Vogt singled, Longoria hit a sac fly. Meanwhile, Logan Webb just went out there and threw up zeros ever since that rough first inning. In the game, he ended up going 5 innings, struck out 7, allowed just 1 walk and the 1 earned run, and 5 hits in those 5 innings. No home runs allowed. So his stuff looked really good too. He was getting a lot of depth, a lot of drop on the changeup. Fastball has sinking action as well in the low to mid 90s. he was also throwing a breaking ball. So all of his pitches looked pretty darn good, and he was getting lots of swings and misses. So overall, just an excellent debut for Logan Webb, and something that they really need out of the starting rotation. They need some stability and guys who can provide some intrigue and upside in that rotation outside of Bumgarner and Samardzija, with all the young guys who have been in there struggling over the last couple of months. He's just 22 years old, so definitely exciting and just a tremendous debut for Webb, and we're going to see him stick in the rotation, and that was said after the game. Andy Suarez and Travis Bergen allowed two runs each in relief, and Yandel Gustave threw 1 1/3 scoreless innings again. Giants, for their own part, got 2 in the 7th and 2 in the 8th, stringing multiple hits together. Kevin Pillar went 5 for 5, and as a team, they ended up with 18 hits in this game. So just another tremendous offensive game for the Giants. After the game, however, or actually the next day, so coming into Sunday, Travis Bergen was designated for assignment. So that was a little surprising to me because, you know, once rosters expand in September, they can have him on the roster and just not use him very much. And they were close. They've made it through most of the season without giving him up. He was a Rule 5 pick. So by designating him for assignment, the Giants will have to offer him back to the Blue Jays if somebody doesn't claim him. Almost certainly the end of Travis Bergen's time with the Giants. It didn't really go well. He started off well, but then it's been all downhill ever since, including a long shoulder injury. Mike Yastrzemski also went 3 for 6 with 3 singles in this game. On Sunday, the Giants lost 6-1. Madison Bumgarner got 9 strikeouts in 6 innings, but did allow 4 earned runs, a homer, 6 hits, and 2 walks. Fernando Abad allowed a home run in relief, and Tony Watson struggled again. He issued 3 walks in 2/3 of an inning. So Watson really is a guy to stay away from in high leverage moments until he can really prove that he's figured it out. And the way he's going to do that is by not allowing homers and striking some more people out. And obviously he can't be walking 3 guys in an outing. Giants just couldn't get anything going offensively in this game. Yastrzemski hit a triple. Jeanette had 2 hits, including a double. But Posey, Belt, and Pillar went a combined 0 for 10 with 2 walks. There were some big managerial decisions that I didn't really agree with in this game. Madison Bumgarner hit for himself with runners on and 2 outs in the 5th inning, even though the Giants were down by several runs. I thought that was an opportunity to take him out. I mean, you need to win the game, and you're trying to win the game, and I get wanting to extend Bumgarner and not disrespect him by taking him out early, but it was looking like runs were going to be hard to come by, and that was a real opportunity that they basically just threw out by letting Bumgarner hit. And then with the bases loaded and 2 outs in the 6th inning, Brandon Crawford came up, and the Diamondbacks went to get a lefty to face Crawford, and the Giants had Evan Longoria on the bench, and they also had Abiatal Avellino, who was called up when Bergen was designated for assignment. So those 2 guys are right-handed. Huge moment in the game. Down 4-1 with the bases loaded and 2 outs, and they let Crawford face a lefty there, and that just was a very predictable out, which did happen. Crawford chased the first pitch out of the zone and then grounded out weakly to first base to end the threat, and that was really the last chance the Giants had. They then like unloaded their bench in the top of the 9th using Vogt and Dickerson as pinch hitters against Archie Bradley, but it was too late by then. It was 6-1. So I needed to see some more aggressive managing when the game was actually still close enough and they had runners on, so they had real chances to come back, but they just decided to stick with their veterans instead of being bold and making what was probably the correct move. So wasn't really a fan of the way Sunday was managed at all. So anyway, coming up today, the Giants are off. Look out for a Q&A on Twitter tomorrow. I'm going to post a prompt, and anyone can ask questions that we'll talk about on tomorrow's show. They then, of course, start this huge 3-game road trip in Chicago. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow doing the Q&A as promised. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.